Well, good morning. Welcome to Amazing Spring or Amazing Grace Church this morning. I'm sorry you're stuck with me, but I'll try to make it hopefully a little bit worthwhile anyway. The teaching this morning is on love. What does it mean? We live in a world today that it has a lot of definitions for love, but we don't see really any love in the world. We see division and hate and violence, and I think that a lot of that stems from because the world doesn't know what love is. And so as Christians, I just want to kind of go an overview of what, you know, the Bible says about love and what we need to be doing as Christians. And I'm not, you know, preaching to you guys. I'm preaching it myself because I struggle with this daily. I mean, I'll see something, you know, in the news, or I'll read it in the paper or something, and it just But then God will convict me. He's like, because I'll get angry and I'll want to pronounce judgment on these evil people. But God, you know, God says that we're to love them and to love everybody, even the people that hate us. And, you know, that's a really hard thing to do. But anyway, as we go through this, hopefully we'll get a better idea of God's love, what He expects from us, and how we can do better and be open to correction from the Lord, because He has to correct me every day on this subject, and that's why we're teaching it this morning. So the Webster's definition of love is an intense feeling of deep affection. Babies fill parents with feelings of love. Some synonyms: deep affection, fondness, tenderness, warmth, intimacy. A great interest and pleasure in something. His love for football. I can relate. Synonyms: liking, weakness, partiality, bent, leaning, proclivity, inclination. A person or thing that one loves. She was the love of his life. And beloved, loved one, the love of one's life, dearest, dear one. So that's a Webster's definition of love. The Bible's definition, I mean, it has some resemblance to that, but it's different. And the world says that love is love. What does that mean? I mean, that anything could be love. Also, I'll be asking some questions today, so if anybody wants to respond, feel free, because I'm open to learn. I don't know all about this love stuff, so if you have an answer or suggestion for any of these questions, I'd be glad to hear it. So what does that mean? Is love, is it a feeling, a strong emotion that we get? Does it mean that it's lusting after someone, as love is portrayed in the media? Or is that better defined as lust, not love? It seems to mean that as humans that we define love, and we can define it any way we choose. By this, we can justify any of our actions by saying, well, it's love, and therefore you can't judge my actions. I wonder, does the Bible say, is that true? That we can do what we want and justify it by saying it's love? So we're going to start in the beginning. The history of creation is Genesis verse 1. So that we can see that God created everything, and He's the one that since He created love, He can define it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And in Hebrews 11:3, I got a lot of scripture in here, so get your fingers warmed up there. Yeah, 11:3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what was seen was not made out of things which are visible. And Jesus, He's the creator of everything. If we go to John 1:1-4. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So God created everything, and nothing that was created except through Him. Since Jesus is the creator of all things, including love, He defines it since it's his creation. So if you make something, you can name it, you can define it. And since you just created love, he's the one that we should be listening to when he says, this is what it is, and that's how we need to understand it and use it. And since we rely on God's word for truth, we'll concentrate on biblical types of love. Because since the beginning of the time, Satan has sought to pervert all the good things that God has created. Marriage, love, family, etc. That's why it's important to have a firm foundation for our beliefs on these issues. So what does the word love mean in the Bible? And what does Jesus have to say on the subject? The English word love can be found 311 times in the King James Bible. In the Old Testament, the Song of Solomon refers to it 26 times, while the Book of Psalms references it 23 times. In the New Testament, the word is recorded the most in the book of 1 John 33 times, followed by the Gospel of John 22 times. It seems like because of his use of the word love that Jesus is trying to tell us something. It's very, very important to him. And he wants us to know what it is, how it is, how to apply it, and how it relates to us, his love for us, and also our love for the world. The Greek language he has used in the Bible has at least four words to describe various aspects of love. The four types of love, three or four, were used to write the New Testament. Eros is used to describe a sexual or romantic type of love. It's not found in the Bible because when it was used, it would be in the Song of Solomon, which is well before the Greek language entered into the word. But Eros is definitely described in the Song of Solomon. Storge refers to loving one's relatives. It's a relatively unknown term that's only used two times in Scripture and only as a compound. And the philia is a definition of a brotherly definition of affection towards someone we really like. We have a brother in the Lord, and you say, hey, brother, you hug or whatever. That's philia. And agape is the love that God has for us, that he was moved by love to send his son here to be crucified so that we might spend eternity with him. And it's also the reciprocal love that we use to love God back for all that he has done for us. It's an agape type of love. One day a scribe came to Christ and asked him, which of all the commandments is the greatest of all? And Jesus' response was short and was clear and to the point. It's Matthew 22, 36 through 40. They said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like, you shall love the neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. It's a pretty heavy scripture. I mean, it's basically, you know, the whole of Bible, everything in the Bible that's written is boiled down to those few verses right there. If you can do those things, which encompasses a lot, but if you can do those things, you know, you're walking really good. So what was the price of God's love? Wait, I'm getting ahead of myself. So, God's love, is it a feeling or something more that he asked from us? Do you think it has anything to do with our emotions, or is it more than that? What do you think? Action. Anybody got anything?
Action.
Oh, you have to put it in your actions?
Yes.
You have to actually, you know, when you serve somebody or you help somebody, you have to do it in love.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you know, I think... discussed in a Bible study was, you know, I don't remember who was all there, but it means actually more than nothing, and it can actually really hurt somebody. It could actually,
yeah.
So it's very important that when you do something for somebody, you show them your love for them, and in return, that's the love you get from God.
Yeah. So how does that start?
You can do it in any way. You bring food to people, you can just spend time with people.
But I mean, it starts here, right? It's like we have to, consciously, we have to make a decision. It's not like, you know, we're waiting for this thing. It's like we have to make a decision. I'm gonna step out and love this person in however way it is that we need to do it. It's not like, you know, when you like people like fall in love, like they have no control over what they do and different, you know, just different thing the world tries to teach us. It's kind of weird because it's like, you know, actually it's a conscious act.
We also have to listen to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The rod that Jessica was talking about, you know, it's not a rod that hits us with a 2x4 necessarily.
Yeah.
But it is a nudging.
Yes.
Telling us to move in God's direction when we start to stray.
Yeah.
And just to say a funny thing, I don't think Dee is here, but he was talking about when, before he got baptized, everybody was telling him he was going to be a new man, and, you know, all these things were going to happen for him, and, you know, like it was going to be an experience. It was like, woo, woo, woo. And he said he came up out of the water, and all he felt was wet. And, you know, he wondered how you're supposed to know if you come up out of the water and you're just wet. And I said, I don't know about anybody else, but I came up out of the water and kind of got kicked in the butt.
Yeah.
Because what happened to me is the Holy Spirit said, you can't follow Jesus and drink.
Yeah.
I was an alcoholic at the time. And, you know, that was a nudging to an action that I never would have taken on my own because it was impossible for me to do. So if we listen to the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
we will be led to do what I like to call the next right thing.
There you go. That's true. That's very good. Yeah. I mean, we got to listen, be prompted by the Spirit. Because we, of our own accord, we're incapable of anything the Word says. So. So what's the cost of that? I mean, we, you know, sometimes we pay a cost when we do, when we love people, there's a cost to it sometimes. There definitely was a cost when God showed his love to us. If you would turn to John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So yeah, God gave his only Son. I mean, that was a big step. If you would, turn to John 15:13. That verse says, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You know, that's a pretty steep cost there. So, you know, when we love people, there's many times cost involved. In Romans 5:8, you would turn there. But God demonstrates, this is one of my favorite verses I had. I used to have a motorcycle trailer that I would take to races and cross the front of was this verse. It said, but God demonstrates his own love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's like he didn't wait for us to get good. He didn't wait till we did what got in line with what his idea was for us. I mean, wherever we were at, for myself, it was a pretty bad and dark place. I mean, and definitely was not a place where I'd ever been in the church or a place where people could have spoke to God about me. You know, that's where he found me. He came to where I was and came in the middle of my sin and all my evil stuff that I was into, and he rescued me. He pulled me out of all that stuff. So, because he loved me, and that's how he showed his love. So we see in these three verses that God has called us consciously to love. In this manner, it's more of a verb, a decision for action, not a feeling. And like Kobe said, you know, it should be Holy Spirit driven. You know, we should live our lives Holy Spirit driven. We would do the things that we should do. If they're not Holy Spirit driven, then they're from the flesh and they're not any good anyway. So, but we're commanded to love one another as Christians also. And that's our witness to the world is our love. This is a proof of our salvation and a witness to a lost world. If you would turn to 1 John 3:16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For whosoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Also, 1 John 4:7 and 8. 11. Let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And then verse 11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, so we ought to love one another. So it appears that Jesus takes love very seriously. I mean, he talks about it a lot and tells us how we should love. We should love one another and love the world. So how do we love our enemies? Any thoughts, anyone? How do we love people who hate us or simply people from a different background, race, or language?
I think love, for me, loving enemies starts out as it's like forgiveness.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is step one is an act of the will. It's not an emotion.
Right.
I have to make a decision that the Lord told me to love my enemies, so I'm going to love my enemies. Mm-hmm. I don't feel it, but eventually, what I found, and I've had an experience within the last 6 months with a longtime friend, where I told myself, and he wasn't my enemy, but you guys know what I mean. I told myself, I've got to love this person. I've got to love this person. Yeah. And eventually God showed me why I should love him. He doesn't know the Lord.
Yeah.
And which probably was a part of his actions. And I guess God gave me grace for him and understanding for him. Eventually it came to emotion. But it didn't start that way.
Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head, though. Yeah. You made it a decision.
Yeah, made a decision.
Amen. You know, the world says, if you don't agree with me, I hate you. And that's a totally wrong attitude for us to have. And I struggle with that myself. I mean, I see people say things, take actions that are, contrary to biblical teaching and evil, really. But that doesn't mean that I can hate them or not love them. Actually, I do need to love them, and I need to show them love, even if I don't agree with them. Because the only way that they're going to agree, the only way that we're ever going to come in agreement is if through Christ. And if we don't love them, they're never going to get there.
So that's the next step. I've got to show it.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's the hard part.
Oh no!
That's the hard part. I'm preaching to myself, man. It's a tough thing, but it's necessary. It really is.
The thing that occurs to me with that is that if we run up against someone and we're like, I cannot love you, you're judging, and we need to watch those other three fingers that are coming back at us and find out what it is in our hearts that is causing us to judge.
Yeah.
That person and find them unworthy because God doesn't find them unworthy to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true. So God calls us to love all people, everybody. No excuses, not everybody but that guy, or everybody but that lady, everybody. And so, you know, we've got to pray and aspire to that, ask God to show us how to do it, because it's not nothing that comes from a natural man, that's for sure. If you would turn to Romans 12, 14, and 20. It says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another, not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And then 20, it says, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So forgive and forget. It's a tough act to follow, I know, but we got to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we've got to love like him. We'll be like the following people that Matthew describes in Matthew 5 and 6, verse 5, 46. And it says, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? So it's easy to love those that are like us, that think like us, that look like us, that talk like us, that walk like us. But God's not calling us to an easy type of love. He's calling us to love the people that don't think like us, don't walk like us, don't talk like us, don't look like us. And so that's, you know, that's where we got to concentrate our energy, because the other part's easy. Loving my brothers and sisters, easy. I mean, it's not hard, but the world at large, it's tough. So I've got some questions here. Maybe you guys care to respond. What are you guys' thoughts about loving all people? Anyone got a thought on that?
Well, I'm a big fan of dualities, and the opposite of love really is hate.
Right.
And it says, holding on to anger is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Amen.
I think that loving everyone is doing a favor to yourself. Mm-hmm. Holding on to that hate, holding on to the resentment will eat you from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And you should show love first. Whether they're mean, kick dirt in your face, whatever, smile, you know, show them that love. You don't have to give them your time. You know, your time is your most precious resource. But you should always start with love.
Yeah. Thank you.
Most people, I don't have a problem loving. And I tend to try to look at a person's spirit, not their outward trappings.
Right.
But there are people in this world that no matter how much I pray, I cannot get to that spot loving them. And they are people to me who are like Hitler. I never met the man, but I suspect I have had a really rough time loving him.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of questions about that when I rubbed up against someone that even the thought of loving them seemed like a betrayal of God.
Yeah.
I love that person, looking at their actions. Like, I can and did forgive the boys that murdered my daughter.
Yeah.
And that's pretty tough. Yeah. Yeah. But there still are some people whose actions are so heinous that I cannot get there. And what I have decided for myself, and this is certainly not, you know, mandatory for anybody else, but my thought is that there are people that walk among us that are not children of God. Jesus told the rabbi, your father is not my father. Mm. You know, he flat out told him that his father was the devil. And he was a rabbi and he was here on earth. And that leads me to believe that there are people who are so against God that I can't get there. And you know, that those are my feelings at the moment. You know, as I grow as a Christian, you know, things I believed 5 years ago are not necessarily the things I believe today.
Yeah.
So, you know, it ebbs and flows, but that loving everybody thing, I don't run into people really that I can't love, but those few are just like, it's like we've talked about the water, Christians, you know, the water drips down and tends to, you know, grab on to the next drop of water. Yeah. And Christians are kind of like that. We recognize each other and we cleave to one another. But if oil comes dripping down at the same time, it goes away. And it seems like there are just some people in this world that are like oil.
Yeah.
They just, there's a...
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's definitely people that are toxic and, you know, they're toxic for you to be around. Mm-hmm. But still, you know, I mean, in the Bible, it doesn't really give us any exceptions. So we're still, you know, we try to love them, not associate with them, not, you know, I mean, there's people that are definitely in different, you know, relationships, different ways and stuff that are just toxic. You can't be around them. Doesn't mean we can't love them. Can't mean we can't pray for them, you know, that kind of thing.
I think the word's boundaries.
Boundaries, yeah. We got to have boundaries.
And that's okay.
And that's okay.
That's okay. Smart.
Well,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So, you're all right. I just wanted to, because my whole thing with boundaries, I was going to say that something that I personally had to learn is you can love someone, but like Jesus ate with the sinners, but he didn't bring them into his circle. He wasn't people. There are people that he went to when he needed something, when he needed company. Those weren't the people that he went to. Like this past year, I had to cut out my cousin, and I had to completely stop talking to her, and that was the hardest thing. And she's like, "You don't love me." I'm like, "No, I still love you very much. It's just your toxicity can't be in my life. It affects me and my family."
Right.
So that's where my boundaries have to come into play, and you can't let them drag you down with you or drag you down with them, because that's going to prevent you from growing and being where you need to be mentally.
Yeah, that's a good word.
And kind of piggybacking, sorry, off of what Abby and Colby said, seeing as there's more than one different kind of love, it may not actually be your place to love that person in every single way. It may just be in one way. And then it's another person's job to love them in another way. So when we all work together as a body, hey, guess what? They're getting all the love they need. And not all of it has to come from you.
I can do the pity part.
I tend to think about the love that Christ talks to us about all over in the Bible.
Yeah.
In my mind, I feel like we are supposed to be an example of love His love. And in that example of love, not necessarily meaning that I need to, you know, hug onto you and just, you know, lavish you, cherish you, all those things, but be an example of what Christ's love is to that person. And maybe that person then can see it, and it provides a change for them in their own life.
Yeah.
It's attraction, not promotion. That also comes from our lips. I live that. But, and you know, that that's what we do. People come, and we all love on them. That's what we do. We are unconditional, absolute love for those people, and we do it because it comes from our heart. Because those of us that are called to do that, that's what we're called to do when we do it. There are other people that, you know, that's not our call. calling, that's okay. But that gives an example to me of holding up love as an example of what God can do to our lives, and I hope that they would see that and, you know, offer their lives to Christ.
Very attractive in a world that doesn't have any love in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, at one time I lived through a thing that's called love hate. And yeah, literally love and hate.
Yeah.
It's when my ex left me, I was very angry. I still loved her, but I was very, very angry, and it went on for quite some time. And one day at a coffee shop restaurant I was working at, I was really going on, and one waitress finally told me that, well, you've got to forgive her, you know. You need to forgive her. And I was like, forgive her for what? I didn't get nothing out of her. She wouldn't do nothing. She left me and everything else. And then later on, I finally figured it out. It wasn't so much about, you know, forgiving her and all, but, you know, when I finally did, it was for my own good. Because the anger finally came to an end.
Yeah.
And I love her today, and we get along great. She lives 800 miles down in Texas, and, you know, everything is just fine. So. But you know, ever since then, and, you know, it's been a different relationship between, you know, between her and I. So, but love, hate, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like he wouldn't have put it in the Word of God if it wasn't possible, even to love the most heinous people. And I feel like love is full of hope, and it is full of sacrifice. And who likes to, I mean, it's sacrificing your life. It's laying down your life. It's bleeding. It's hurt. It hurts.
Amen.
It's something that you have to walk through. And I believe that we can't underestimate the power of love. Like that we can, like that one person in that one circumstance, if we just reached out and loved them and saw them, I feel like there's good in everyone.
Mm-hmm.
The breath of God was breathed into us all as children of God, as created. He has compassion on all that he has made. So I believe that it's powerful that if we did follow the Holy Spirit, like Cody said, that amazing things can happen and people can change. People can change, even the most heinous of people, with the power of love. And yeah, it may be a sacrifice and it may be something that's hard for you to do, but I believe that God and the Holy Spirit gives us the power and the strength to walk that through if he's calling us to do that.
Thank you. So I just want to close with one verse, Romans 8:28. For all things work together, those who are called to God according to his purpose. I'm just quoting that from my brain there. Now I'll stick behind there. Here we go. So our choice, you know, are we gonna go God's way or my way? My way is the way. If I don't like that person, I don't like what they do, I don't like what they stand for, or are we going to go God's way? Is it, I'm going to love that person and pray and ask God to help me love that person, you know, and because, I mean, it takes prayer. There's people that are very hard to love. And so, God's way or my way? My way's never worked out too good for me, so hopefully we'll choose God's way. And I just want to encourage everyone, if you have a chance to do like a word study on love, you can do the whole Bible. You can do just a book like 1 John, 2 John. All of John's epistles are a great place to start. And anyway, I mean, there's a lot. God has a lot to say about it. So we just scratched the surface today. So I encourage you to look further into it.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you.